Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Merry Christmas. I am so glad that you could join us this Christmas. With Christmas comes a lot of traditions, right? Like some of you have been decorating your house. Maybe you're having a big meal tonight or tomorrow. Maybe you always watch the movie Elf. And of course, the biggest Christmas tradition is giving gifts. Some of you will be getting gifts tomorrow. Some good gifts and some not so great gifts. Because the truth is, there are some really bad gifts out there, like that are being promoted for people to buy. I thought I'd show you a couple. These are real, okay? First, the mom and baby Snuggie. That's weird. I think that might be child abuse. Call Child Protective Services. Next, in case your coffee tastes like crap, there's the toilet coffee mug. Yay, I don't think I want to drink out of a toilet, no. And last, and this one is my favorite, for the person who loves to thumb wrestle but wants to make it feel more official, there is the thumb wrestling ring. Yeah. But what would you say if you received one of those gifts? What would you say? Let's find out, because I am going to give someone the thumb wrestling game. Who would like the thumb wrestling game? All right, you, sir, come on up. If you could jump up here. So I also have, because I'm awesome, thumb wrestler tattoos. These are thumb wrestling tattoos you put on your thumb. So you didn't think I was just going to give it to you, did you? No, you have to thumb wrestle me for it.
Yes.
So I've got my thumb wrestling ring here. Let's do this. All right, so you grab it down here and put your thumb in here. I'll give you the new one. There you go, sir. Congratulations. Merry Christmas. All right. Well, I hate getting a gift that, like, I don't like because I never know what to say. My wife's grandmother used to always give me the weirdest presents, and I would just be like, and so I thought I would help you in case you get a gift tomorrow that you don't like, just give you some very practical suggestions of things that you could say. Would you guys like to hear the top 10 things to say about a Christmas gift you don't like? All right, top 10 things to say about a Christmas gift you don't like. Number 10. This color is a perfect match for the back corner of my closet. Number 9, oh, thank you for this Glamour Shots gift card. Number 8, I love it, but I fear the jealousy it will inspire. Number 7, I bet you're very popular with your Dungeons and Dragons friends. I think I hurt somebody's feelings. Number 6, I just hope this never catches fire. It is fire season, though. There are lots of unexplained fires this time of year. Number 5. So, did your blind grandma pick this out? The direct approach. Number 4. This is perfect for wearing around the basement. Number 3. Sadly, tomorrow I enter the Federal Witness Protection Program. Number 2, to think I got this the year I vowed to give all my gifts to charity. And the number 1 thing to say about a Christmas gift you don't like, maybe we shouldn't exchange gifts anymore. There they are, the top 10. Yeah. You know, I bet if we look back at our lives, we've all gotten some bad gifts. We've also gotten some great gifts, maybe that you still remember, maybe from childhood. Maybe you got an Xbox or a PlayStation, a Cabbage Patch doll, or an Easy Bake Oven, or a Tickle Me Elmo doll. Maybe this year you're hoping for an Alexa or an Apple Watch. But I think as we get to be adults, we want something different out of Christmas. Maybe we've just been looking for the time off, forward to the time off of work, or we're thankful to have some time with our family, or we've been dreading the time with our family. Maybe you're hoping for less stress, or just that, you know, you can get this year over with and next year might be better. Or It might be that you don't like Christmas at all. Maybe because you're going to be alone. Perhaps you're not expecting any Christmas gifts tomorrow. Well, I am so glad that you're here because God wants to give you a gift this Christmas. And I realize that maybe sounds a little bit cheesy, but it's true. God wants to give you a gift, and it actually goes beyond the holiday season. It's a gift that can mark you for life in the very best of ways. It's the gift that Jesus came to bring about 2017 years ago on the original Christmas. In fact, it's so life-changing and such a big deal that we're going to talk about it today and then continue to talk about it for the next few weeks. We're beginning a brand new series today, a teaching series called That's Gonna Leave a Mark. It's gonna be 5 weeks long. Now, I realize some of you are here today just because it's Christmas or because a friend invited you to come just this one time, or maybe you started dating this girl and she's like, you gotta go to church with me on Christmas, or you lost a bet. I don't know why you're here. So you might be just thinking, I'm gonna come once and then maybe I'll see you next Christmas, but I would like to invite you. I would like to encourage you to come back for the rest of this series. 5 weeks long, but think about this. You've already come to one. You're 20% to the goal. Look at you go. You're doing great. Yeah. Maybe coming for this whole series will introduce you to Jesus in a way that you've never known him. Maybe it will make 2018 a lot better than 2017. Maybe it will really mark your life forever. So there are four books of the Bible that tell the story of Jesus' life. Typically on Christmas Eve, you will hear the story of Jesus' birth from the book of Luke. In Luke, we read about a virgin named Mary who was told by an angel she was having a baby and how her fiance Joseph decides to stay with her. And a census was taken, forcing Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem. Mary was 9 months pregnant, gets to Bethlehem. She's ready to pop. There's no room in the inn. Mary and Joseph end up in the animal stable where Jesus is born. It's this beautiful but very messy scene. Right? There, cows are mooing, sheep are pooping, shepherds show up in the middle of it. And it's very appropriate to start the story of Jesus' life with his birth because Jesus' birth was the beginning of the change of everything. But I want to show you how another of those four books starts Jesus' story. It's the book of Mark. And I like Mark because it seems like Mark was maybe kind of ADD, and I'm maybe kind of ADD. Mark does not spend too much time on anything. He writes fast. He jumps from one story to another. He just keeps moving. And at the beginning of his telling of the story of Jesus' life, he wants to make sure that you know who Jesus is, that Jesus was legit. When I was a kid, one tradition I never looked forward to was sitting on Santa's lap. My parents would take me and my sister to the mall, and we would stand in line, and we would watch this jolly man with the white beard talking to all the kids, and I'd get up there, and I wanted to let Santa know what I wanted for Christmas, but once I sat in his lap, like I just kind of froze, and I would stare at him trying to figure out who he was. Was this the real Santa Claus, or maybe he's just Santa's helper, or a Santa cousin, you know? And so when I sat on his lap, I would be like inspecting, looking like, is that beard real? And I'd listen to his voice. Is that really Santa's voice? I wanted to know who he was. Is this Santa legit? And maybe you have similar questions about Jesus. Who is he? Really? Is he legit? Is he who some people think he is? And that's exactly how Mark starts out the story of Jesus' life. He wants you to know who Jesus is and that Jesus was legit. Check out the first verse of his book. It says, "This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God." Mark wants you to know who Jesus is, and he uses two words to describe him. The first word he uses is Messiah. Messiah. The word Messiah means Savior. That's what it means. Since the beginning, God had been promising to send a Messiah, a Savior, because God loves us. God loves you. God loves you. And he knew that we could not do life right on our own, that we wouldn't get things right, that we would make bad decisions and get ourselves stuck, that there would be hard times where we would need someone to give us strength and peace to get through it. And God knew that we would need to be saved from ourselves, from our decisions, from our sin. And so he had promised that he was going to do that for us, that he would send a Messiah, a Savior. And Mark is telling us that this baby born in the stable, he's it. He is, Jesus is the Messiah. The second way Mark tells us who Jesus is he says he is the Son of God. That's a big deal. Mark wants to make sure that we know that Jesus was not just some ordinary guy or just some good guy who did some good things. No, Jesus was God come to earth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a God who loves you so much that he knew someone had to come to save you? And so he did it himself. He came himself, a God who was willing to leave heaven and come live where we live so that he could take us from where we live so that we could live with him in heaven forever. Mark says Jesus was the Son of God. And by the way, it's important to know that Jesus claimed these things for himself. He said it. He claimed to be the Messiah and he claimed to be the Son of God. You know, a lot of people today know that Jesus really lived, but they think that maybe Jesus was just a good guy. You know, people get carried away when they say Messiah, Son of God. He was just a good guy who lived. Actually, no, that's impossible. It's impossible that Jesus was just a good guy because he said that he was the Messiah. He said that he was the Son of God. And if he was just a good guy, then he was not the Messiah or the Son of God. And if he was not the Messiah or Son of God, he was lying when he told people that he was. And if he was lying, he wasn't a good guy. He was a liar who was trying to deceive people. But man, you read about Jesus and you realize he is not a liar. And you also realize he wasn't just a good guy. He was the Messiah, the Son of God. He was legit. And that's the next thing that Mark wants to make sure we know. Jesus was legit. Let's look at the next few verses in this book. It says, verses 2 and 3, it says, just as the prophet Isaiah had written, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. So what's happening here is that Mark is quoting the prophet Isaiah. If you look in the Old Testament of the Bible, which is the part before Jesus came, you'll find this book called Isaiah, written by Isaiah. And this prophet Isaiah wrote this about 700 years before Jesus was born. So what is going on here? Well, in the Old Testament, God put dozens and dozens and dozens of prophecies about the coming Messiah. He wanted there to be no doubt about who this Messiah was when he sent him. And so he put these very specific predictions so that people could clearly identify who the true Messiah was. And the amazing way that Jesus completely fulfilled every one of those prophecies written hundreds of years before proves that Jesus was legit. Let me give you just a few examples. In the Old Testament book called Daniel, chapter 9, we're told when the Messiah would be born, that it would be before the destruction of the temple, which happened in 70 AD. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 told us that he would be born in the small town of Bethlehem. Genesis 49:10 tells that he would be a descendant of Judah, a guy named Judah. Isaiah 53, again written 700 years before Jesus, described Jesus' suffering, that he would be imprisoned, that he would go through a trial, that he would be pierced in his death, that although he would be executed with criminals, he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. The Psalms describe the method of his death, crucifixion, before crucifixion was even invented. The Psalms also detail how the soldiers would mock him and they would gamble for his clothes. And we're told in several places in the Old Testament that he would die, but he would rise from the dead. And if you read through these passages, you're just absolutely amazed by the accuracy of the Jewish prophets and their description of the Messiah. And you realize only Jesus fulfilled these prophecies. Jesus was legit. Jesus is the Son of God who came to be our Messiah, our Savior. Jesus is and has always been God's plan. Jesus is God's plan to bring light into the darkness. Jesus is the plan to bring together broken families. Jesus is the plan to give hope to the hopeless. Jesus is God's plan for lonely people, for hurting people, for guilty people. And Jesus is the plan for our forgiveness, to bring us back to God. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he is legit. Did you notice, I don't know if you did that, how Mark started his description of Jesus, even before Messiah and Son of God. He said in verse 1, this is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. This is good news. Listen, if you're hurting today, this is good news. If you're feeling broken, hopeless, lonely, guilty, and this is good news. If you feel like you haven't been able to find the answer you're looking for, this is good news. If you need a second chance, if you just want to start over, if you need something new and something better in 2018, this is good news. This is good news for you. It's good news for our country. It's good news for our world. I mean, honestly, it has been a tough year, hasn't it? In 2017, people divided by politics, people's lives devastated by natural disasters, people's secret sins finally being exposed, people's lives impacted by an evil tragedy in our city. And our world needs good news. Our world needs Jesus. How does our world get to experience Jesus? Well, in large part, through us. We are to be good news and to share good news. This is why I'm so proud of how our church responded to the shooting in October. We ministered to and provided counseling for nearly 100 of the victims, and we provided financial help for several of the victims' families. This is why I'm also so excited that this year we adopted the Marble Manor Housing Project. Marble Manor is in a really bad part of town, lots of crime. 83% of the families are led by a single mom. The average household income in this project is $10,000, not per person, per home. About 80% of the people are minorities, 68% are kids. It's a lot of kids growing up in a really dark, hard place and not a lot of people caring. And so the Las Vegas Housing Authority has given us use of the community center in Marble Manor. And every Wednesday, we're opening it up for the kids to come from the project. And we help them with their homework and do activities and play games. And it's fun. And even better, we are being good news to those kids. Yesterday, we did a Christmas meal for them, and a bunch of us were out there, and man, those kids left smiling with bellies full of food and arms full of presents, and it was awesome. And our plan as we earn trust in Marble Manor neighborhood is to do more there. Like every year at Verv, we do something called Love Vegas. It's a Saturday of serving. We have all kinds of projects and opportunities to serve. And we're going to do Love Vegas in the first part of 2018. And we're going to focus most of our efforts on Marble Manor. And we would love for you to be a part of what we're doing at Marble Manor to help us to be Jesus, to be good news to our city. Because Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, and he is legit. And he brings us good news. And Christmas, man, Christmas is all about Jesus. Well, it should be. I realize that for most of us, most of the time, it's not. It's about getting gifts, buying gifts, decorating Christmas parties, family plans, making food. And Jesus can kind of easily get lost in the Christmas hustle. And I get that. I understand. But what if we made this Christmas a little more about Jesus? You know, what if we took some time tomorrow to read the Christmas story out of the book of Luke? What if we took some time to be thankful tomorrow, maybe some time to pray? I wonder if that might help us make this our best Christmas ever. And what would be even better is if we didn't leave it at Christmas. What if our lives could be better, maybe way better, if we made them more about Jesus? So here's my challenge to you this Christmas. Like I said, we're going to continue this series for 4 more weeks. Why don't you come back for the whole series? So that would mean 4 more hours, which is really not that much in the big scheme of things. But what if it helps you to finally really know who Jesus is and that Jesus was legit? And what if knowing that might actually mark your life in the very best way? If you want to take an additional step in that direction, on Wednesday night, starting January 17th, we're going to do something that we're calling Next Step Experience. It's 4 one-hour sessions. Discover God, discover community, discover your purpose, and discover compassion. And so if you are like, I want to know how to get in a growing relationship with God and experience community and find my purpose and really live a life of compassion, man, Next Step would be a great next step for you. You can find out more. You can sign up at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place after the service. Man, it could change your life. Jesus could change your life. I hope you know that is totally possible for you. Okay, not just for other people, but for you. It really is. I can say that because my life has been totally, dramatically changed by Jesus. Our church here, we are now 7 years old, and there are so many people in this church who have experienced dramatic life change. I think if you talk to them, most of them would say, I feel like I've gotten a new life. Like, I feel like I got a new life. You may not believe that's possible for you, but even if there's a chance, wouldn't it be worth 4 hours to find out? Maybe join us for the rest of this series. Maybe check out Next Step. So, in a minute, we're going to end our service by singing Silent Night together. While we do, we're going to light candles. There should have been a candle on your seat when you came in. So what's going to happen in a few minutes is there's going to be 2 people who come down the aisle, and they're going to light the candle of the people in the middle here. And then what we're going to do is kind of light each other's candles going down the rows. If you've got a child with you today, parents, please be responsible for your child. Please make sure this goes well. We are trying to create a special moment, not set kids on fire, okay? That's not the goal here. So here's what's going to happen in a few minutes. With just the candles lit all throughout the room, it's going to be very pretty in here. But listen, the candles represent more than that. So remember earlier I said there are 4 books in the Bible that kind of walk through Jesus' life and how Mark is one of those. And in the beginning of his book, he calls Jesus good news. Another of the 4 books is John. And in the beginning of his book, he calls Jesus the light. He says Jesus is the light. He says when Jesus was born, the light was coming into the world. And now the light has come. And he writes in John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And man, that is good news. Because there has been a lot of darkness in 2017, but the light is coming, and the light has come. And I don't know where you're at, but maybe right now your life feels really dark. And if it does, I've been there. I understand that. But it's Christmas. And that means that the light is coming. And the light has come. So let's pray, and then we'll move on to that. Let's pray. God, thank you for Christmas. We do have fun. We make cookies and have big meals and spend time with family and give gifts and all that's great. And I know that you love to see us smile. I think you enjoy every moment of that. But God, Christmas is so much more. And we know that, but sometimes it's hard to pay attention to that. Thank you for the Bible, because it shows us, it tells us what Christmas is really about, that Jesus is the Messiah. God, every one of us needs a Savior. And you sent Jesus to be ours. Jesus is the Son of God. He wasn't just some ordinary guy. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a prophet. He was God come to earth. God, thank you for loving us so much that you came for us. No one else ever came for us, but you did. He is good news, and we need some good news right now. And he is the light. God, a lot of us feel like a lot of our lives and a lot of this world just feels very dark, and we need light. So thank you for sending Jesus. And God, would you help us to really receive him this Christmas? God, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.